if you are a father, want to make sure that you got one of our Father's Day gifts. Do we have any fathers that didn't get one? We got one over here. Where's the girls with the basket? Devane, do we have more of these over there? Can you get one and give it to Mr. James over here? Just a little token of our appreciation to all of the fathers. And this is so that they don't get lost. It's got a flashlight on it. Okay? And if they do get lost and they can't find their way, there's a pen in order they can write a help message. Okay? So, but anyway, just a little thing for the fathers just to say, just to appreciate what you do as dads. One of the things that I wanted to tell you about, just to remind you, that next Sunday, a week from today, starts our Vacation Bible School. And so we have one more work day this coming Saturday. And of course, you can come if you're teachers or other workers to get things done during the week. You can come during the week and get accomplish what you need in your classrooms or whatever. But next Sunday evening starts our Vacation Bible School. So keep that in mind. Invite your friends. If you don't have any friends, go out and buy some. Invite those folks to come to Vacation Bible School. We're really looking forward to that. So as we are have been studying over the last several weeks, we're talking about Christian atheists. And what this study is all about, for those of you who have not been here with us before, we're looking at the idea of people who believe in God, but yet their life, the way that they're living their life, in some ways, is not showing that they really do believe in God. They're living a ways that are against what God says. And so there are those people that we talked about earlier that I believe in God, and yes, I'm a Christian, even some of them will say, but yet they're living their life that shows anything but Christianity. Then there's another group of folks who are Christian atheists in the sense that they believe in God, and they try and they want to live their life for God, but yet there are issues in their life that keep getting in the way that again cause them to not be living their life the way that God would have them to live it. And so they're not living in a relationship with God the way that He really wants to live. There are obstacles, so to speak, in other words. So, yes, I believe in God, but... And so this morning, we're going to be talking about those people who believe in God but won't forgive. And that's a real serious obstacle, and I think it's one that a lot of Christians really struggle with. Because of the world that we live in, and because of the nature of people, we get hurt in our lives, don't we? I mean, that's part of life. It's going to happen, you see? Sometimes people treat us badly. And the difficult thing, I think, for a lot of people, probably for most of us, is to really have to face the issue of true forgiveness of those who hurt us. And for a lot of people, that becomes so problematic that it really does interfere with their relationship with God. So they're in that category then of saying, yes, I believe in God, but I can't forgive this person for what they've done. And so, therefore, their life is not the kind of godly life that God wants them to have. So, let's talk about this problem, you see, that we face. Let's talk about the root of bitterness. You think about trees, okay? Trees have a root system, all right? And the roots serve a lot of different purposes. Number one, they give stability to the tree. They get down into the ground and they hold the tree in place. Otherwise, we see all these trees out here just laying over on the ground and they didn't have roots, okay? But the roots also provide the nutrients, the water and so forth that the tree needs for growth. Now, there are a lot of trees. In fact, I understand that most trees have what are called lateral roots. In other words, they're roots that tend to be really shallow, but they spread out over a wide area around the tree. And that's how the tree gets all of its nutrients, the water, and so forth. Then there are other trees, some that have what's called a tap root. And a tap root is the kind of root that grows straight down, and it goes really deep, and that really anchors the tree into the ground to be able to get more of those nutrients out of the deep soil and so forth. So keep that in mind as we talk about bitter roots. The writer of Hebrews in the text that we read at the beginning this morning says this: make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay? Then he goes on to say, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile men. No bitter root grows up. See? Here's the situation. Bitter roots can grow up in our lives when we get hurt, when people hurt us, you see? And when that hurt is not dealt with in a proper way, in a healthy way, then those bitter roots, they grow. You see? And what ends up happening is a lot of times those roots then absorb, just like the roots of a tree, they kind of absorb and they store up things like anger, okay, and hatred and resentment and revenge. And so if you just think about a tree and picture the roots of a tree like this on here, and think about that anger and that hurt that's there. It's there in the roots. And what ends up happening is that's where the tree, so to speak, of our life becomes anchored by these very things. Bitter roots. Okay, now, the only way for us to get rid of the bitter roots in our lives is through forgiveness. It's the only way that it can happen. All of these kinds of emotions and feelings that we have when someone hurts us in some way, the only way to overcome them and to prevent them from taking root in our lives and becoming bitter is for us to forgive. And that's what this is all about, you see. It's about being able to really, truly forgive someone for the hurt and the problems that they have caused within our lives. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 has this to say. The first part he says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So he's telling us, and keep in mind, he's talking to Christians here, okay? So he's writing these words to, help me out here, us, thank you. And he's telling us that we need to get these kinds of things out of our lives. We've got to make sure we don't allow any bitter root to grow in our lives. Get rid of this bitterness out of our life. And then he answers the question that we all say, well, how do I do that? Look at what he says next. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. So how do we get rid of the bitterness? How do we prevent bitter roots from grabbing a hold of the soil in our lives, so to speak, and anchoring us in? We have to forgive. Okay. It requires forgiveness. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus makes this statement. If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings. Okay. Now, it's important for us to understand as we consider this whole issue of forgiveness that is one of Jesus' teachings, isn't it? You see, what we have to understand and know is that until we forgive that person or persons that have hurt us in some way, then we're going to be held in bondage to that person. Whoever it is we refuse to forgive, we're going to be held in bondage to them as long as we refuse to forgive them. They own us. Because they control our thoughts in the sense of that you know, when you just think about it. Someone that you has really hurt you and you're still angry at and you're carrying that resentment, you know, all you have to do is be reminded of that person, don't you? And all that anger and bitterness, all that, somebody just mentioned that person's name and all those feelings come right back in again. That person owns you. You are in bondage to that person. And the only way to be free is to obey the teaching of Jesus, you say. And then you can be free of that bondage. When we obey His teachings to forgive, then and only then can we be free. The bars are open and we're free to walk away. Okay? Now, I have to admit to you that the teachings that Jesus gives on forgiveness are some of the toughest teachings that He gave on anything. I don't know how you feel about it, but forgiveness is tough. Yeah. You see? Because when someone has really hurt us deeply, it's really hard to get past that, isn't it? You see? And yet, Jesus gives these teachings on it, and He says, look, if you want to be My disciple, then you need to obey My teachings. And that includes My teachings on forgiveness. Well, the last thing that we typically want to do is forgive someone, right? I mean, we want revenge and all those kinds of things. But yet, you see, it's really hard to do to forgive other people. But that's exactly what Jesus' teachings tell us we have to do. Why is it so hard? Because it hurts so much. Okay? I mean, think about it this way. If something happens and it's not a really big deal, somebody says, oh, I'm sorry I did this or whatever. Well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. That's not hard to forgive them for, that is it? We do that all the time. But when somebody really hurts us deep, forgiveness is one of the most difficult things to do, and it's typically the last thing in the world we want to do concerning that person. But yet it's what Jesus' teachings tell us we need to do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, okay, here's Jesus' teaching on this. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a tough teaching, isn't it? That I know this person is my enemy, and instead of being able to have bad feelings towards them and go, oh, you're your enemy, I'm gonna, you know, I'll do whatever I can to hurt you. He's saying, no, you gotta love them. And those people that want to do you harm, He says, pray for them. Tough teachings. You think that one's tough? Take a look at this one. Chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts. Listen to this. Look at it. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Do you understand what He's saying there? Forgive me for my debts, in the same way that I'm forgiving those who have brought a debt against me. Yeah. What's that cause you to think about in terms of forgiveness? In verses 14 and 15, this is all part of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus is teaching His disciples about prayer. He said, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So basically what He's saying is here, forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. You see, it's really easy for us, I think, when we recognize that we sin and we acknowledge that. That's not always the easy part, is it? We acknowledge our sin, and we go to God, and we want Him to forgive us, don't we? Well, what he's saying is here, look, don't come to me and ask me to forgive you and expect me to forgive you if you're not willing to forgive those who have sinned against you. That's not going to happen. And we need to understand that. You see, if we withhold forgiveness from someone else, then God will withhold His forgiveness from us. When people say things like, I will never forgive you for this. And I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say that before. I've heard a lot of people say that. And when I hear it, it makes me cringe. Because basically what's happened is they are basically condemning themselves. They're saying, I refuse to forgive this person for this thing. And so I accept that God will not forgive me of my sins. And of course, you have to keep in mind that our sins are what separate us from God, and our sins are what keep us from being holy. Go back to Hebrews 12. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Amen.
You cannot see the Lord, you cannot be holy, and still be in your sins. And the only way that to have those sins forgiven is for you to forgive others for the sins they commit against you. Without holiness, you can't see the Lord. See? So it really is all about forgiveness. But we have got to choose to obey God on this issue. And that way we find freedom. You see? The only way to find that freedom is through being able to forgive other people. It brings us that comfort and that peace that God wants us to have in relationship with Him. And without forgiving, we can't find that comfort and that peace in our relationship with God. Because there's an issue there that stands between us and God, and that issue is sin.